Hi, welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio, and this is our series going on of conversations with Gabriel, with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. There's a lot to talk about today, and we're going to focus on a couple of things, but the context of what's going on in the world right now is important, and we'll see where we go. We've only got an hour, but we'll make good use of it. So welcome, Dr. Cousins, and thanks for being here.
I'm always pleased to be here. I always like to start with a prayer, which is kind of what the world needs too.
Yeah.
It's the merging of the heart and mind, heavens and earth. And it brings what we call Chokhmah HaLev, wisdom of the heart, which is what's missing in today's world. Here it is. Mishin Niku Kudusha Brihu Ushinate Bi Ilulaihe Shemuke Bilovke Bi Adashlam Shem Kuzrael Kolam. Amen. Okay, just feel that merging of the heart and mind and feel the unity of that. So we always start with another level of that, which is a little dancing to get rid of the energies of dissonance. Because when you dance, you dance and go into harmony and you clap and you release the negative energies. There's real a point to this, okay? So we're going to dance for 3 minutes. Then we're going to meditate for a few minutes as well. And the meditation is real simple. We start with the word. This is the name that Moses received from the burning bush. It means that which was and will be. So it's the eternal presence. Yod and then breath, hey and that breath. Wah and then breath, hey and that breath. Yod from the base to the heart. Hey out to the heart to all humanity connecting. Wah from the base to the third eye. Hey out from the third eye back down to the heart and out to the world connecting to all humanity. And you just keep repeating it until you're quiet. Pretty simple. The other thing we do is something that's we see in many traditions is the movement of energy to awaken your energy. In the biblical tradition, we call it Shekhinah energy, the sacred feminine. When it's activated, it begins to expand consciousness. In the yogic tradition, we'll call the Kundalini and Shakti Kundalini. So the feminine force again, and when it's activated, it kind of opens it up to a higher awareness. So we'll do that, and we'll dance first and go into meditation. Let me just see one thing. I can get it to go a little bit bigger. Okay. Almost there. Okay, now everybody's welcome to dance, okay? That's the idea. We all kind of have to do a little releasing here. Here we go. Now we're going to go into meditation. The energy is going to come through my eyes. My soul touches your soul and it activates that sacred feminine energy in everyone. We'll go for just a few minutes. You just repeat the mantra until your mind is quiet. Okay, now in the meditation. Yo. Slowly come out of meditation. Okay. So our topic today, do you want to introduce the topic, Richard, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I think we're just starting to get into issues of purpose.
Right.
Big subject, really relevant.
So did we do that on purpose?
I think so.
Okay.
Take responsibility.
So we're talking about meaning in life, okay? And what makes us, you know, in a sense, full people and how we live our lives. And we're talking about how today's activity, we're talking about what the globalists are trying to do. We're talking about the energy above the globalists, where they're trying to get us to think we don't matter, we're useless eaters, we have no purpose, we have no value, we can be replaced by you know, computers and robots. It's like, it has nothing to do with reality. They're trying to create a false mass psychosis reality. So we're put on the planet to evolve spiritually. That's not what a robot can do, okay? But our purpose is that. It's not to be an industrial unit to be replaced by by a robot, or to be controlled or be enslaved. That's nothing to do with it. The reality is we're put here for one purpose. This is from a spiritual point of view, which is to wake up, to expand our consciousness, and know our oneness with the all, with the truth, with the source, with God. So that's a starting point. It's a very different orientation. Now, in that starting point, part of what allows us to grow is, I'm going to use a yogic term called Dharma. What's Dharma? Right action. What's right action? Actions that help you grow spiritually. Actions that help you complete your mission or purpose on the planet. Now, a lot of people don't know what their mission or purpose is. A lot of people are not necessarily even asking that question. And our work, if we're going to do this, is to ask the question. Okay, now how do you ask the question? Richard, anything you want to say before I go on to it?
Well, just to say so far that doing everything with purpose gives it depth and dimension. And when you go through any actions during the day with no purpose, it's more like going along with what the rulers want. In other words, us becoming robots. So it's worth stopping and thinking, what would happen if you didn't do anything without clear purpose? How would that change your life?
And so that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not robots. We're not designed to be robots. We're not meant to be robots. We're not meant to be enslaved. We're not meant to be economic units. We're meant to wake up and know the truth. So that's the big purpose. That's the big purpose. So every action becomes, how does this action help me wake up? How does this action help me become more conscious? How does this action help me see the sacred in all of creation? Those are important questions. Okay? So those are kind of what we're dealing with when we're kind of looking at this bigger picture. Now, there's ways to go about this that are more, I'm going to use the word more general. For example, I talk about the six foundations and sevenfold peace. And there are just different pieces of the purpose. So first is the way we eat. Can you eat junk food and not develop a junk food mind? I don't think so. If you eat a diet that helps you become a superconductor of the divine, that activates the sacred feminine in you, and you start, it supports consciousness, that makes sense. That gives purpose. Oh, and I'm choosing a dietary way of life that supports it. Now,
I want to say one thing about that too, without losing your train of thought, because there's so many big issues that would help to get clarified. We'll just do a little piece because we only have 1 hour. But when you say that it's so important, not just to not eat junk food, but you can go beyond just not eating junk food and really fine tune it to help you be a conductor like you're talking about as much as possible. What would you say about the difference, which is not often addressed, between the protocol for diet on detox and curing a condition versus maintenance and operation and functionality? Because they're not exactly the same, in my opinion. And you see if you agree.
It's a very good question. When we're doing healing, okay, so for example, we heal 61% of type 2 diabetes in 3 weeks. Right. Heal means with a blood sugar less than 100, no medications. Now, our initial diet is what I call a phase one diet. 100% my food, 100% organic, and it's like an optimal diet. No, it's like sprinting in a way for some people. And it's the way I live, but let's say for some people. And what's the point here? The point is you have to go intensely to clear, like Richard was saying, detox, and to reset and to upgrade. Now, I've noticed in my work as also a orthomolecular psychiatrist, that when people go on this diet, their neurotransmitters tend to get balanced. A lot of medication, though. We're just talking diet. And when your neurotransmitters are balanced, your consciousness becomes more balanced. Your clarity of mind, your thinking process, everything begins to work better. So, now that's the intense. Now, if your blood sugar stays, I'm just giving you an example. If your blood sugar stays less than 100, optimal 70 to 80, 86. But if it stays less than 100 for 3 months, they say, okay, you can step back a little bit. You can add a little cooked food into it. You can add, some grains. You can add a few things. So that's kind of what answers your question is that now we're out of detox, we've stabilized in a new frequency, and now you can kind of ease up a little bit and see if you can hold the frequency, because we're actually reprogramming. This is really important to get. We're actually reprogramming our genetic, what we call epigenetic. Okay, that's the energy that controls the genes. So now we move back into resetting them. And we know we can do that. I'm not saying changing them, that's gene therapy. I'm saying upgrading our gene expression. That's what we can do with this. So that's the second level. Once it's upgraded, it holds, and you don't have to be as intense with the diet. Does that answer your question?
Well, kind of. And I don't mean to get off track, because we're talking about purpose. But since you brought up the way you're eating and taking care of your physical body as the first element of living in harmony with a higher purpose, then I thought, some of these things are almost never addressed by most natural food type healers and detox people. And one of the things they typically do that I've noticed is they talk about, and the same thing is in the Essene Gospel of Peace and a lot of other places, and Marcus Rothkranz books and different places, that the difference between cooked and raw food. And when they're talking to people who are in the detox phase, they're basically saying that raw food is just regular food. And if you cook it, you're denaturing it. And it's definitely not as good. And it sets up the stage for different health problems. And I think they'd all agree on that. And then they say after the detox period, add cooked food. So is that just because emotionally we're not strong enough to do what would be better? And if there was no emotional issue, what would be the ideal thing for everybody to eat? Would anybody add cooked food? And if so, well, why?
I mean, as I pointed out, I'm like 98% live food. Okay. So certainly you can do that. But I also found if you set the mark too high, people get discouraged.
Well, I agree with that. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, wait. If people can do 80% over a period of a year rather than 3 months, they can also maintain that reset. It just goes slower.
Sure.
So that's been my observation.
So physiologically, if they didn't have an emotional adjustment to make, would it be biologically better to do just 100% organic live food all the time?
Yes, without a doubt.
What is your understanding of the reason that people don't do that?
Well, I think it's more mental and emotional. Okay. I mean, it's the God-eaten diet. I mean, that's what God prescribed. It's not like that complicated, you know?
It's not complicated, but a lot of people who try to stay on it end up looking like prison camp escapees.
Yeah, but okay, so today I did my 1,500 push-ups, which I do 3 times a week.
That's what I'm getting to, yeah.
I've been doing this now, in my 900 sit-ups. And I've been doing this for, 48 years.
Okay? So what are these people missing between
One thing they're missing is they're not designing their diet to their constitution.
Okay.
And when a lot of people try to go low protein and say, wait a second, 30% of the people on chromosome 19, which is where our percentages are, 30% need a lower protein and 70% need a higher protein. Well, if you don't even know that simple piece, and 70% need more fat. No, I call it plant fat, not animal fat. Okay?
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is, if you're a person that needs 70%, higher protein and fat, and you're trying to go just fruits and vegetables, because you think that's live food, it's not going to work.
You're going to lose muscle tissue, for one thing.
Yes, but nothing's going to work quite right. You'll detox, but after a few months, you're not going to be able to hold it because it's not fitting your genetics.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that where I get 99% success rate in working with people, okay? I've actually had one person fail, and that was, she didn't fail. She came from near the Arctic Circle and, at the reindeer level of things.
Yeah.
And she was really committed to 100% live food, but she had to have more protein. And this is the learning stage. This is like 40 years ago. So what I'm saying is now I think we could get her to succeed. So I will organize the diet. Some people with a vegan diet can't get enough protein. So we'll do protein concentrates. Different people have different protein concentrates. So there's a pea protein concentrate, and there's the mushroom protein concentrate. And, and I test people for it. Well, which is the one that works for you?
Okay. So algae or things like that, basically.
Spirulina is another big player. Chlorella is another big player. Blue-green algae. And, I'll give you an example, which is myself. In the 40s, men... because the research was done on men, eat too much protein and they get kind of in general, double the rates of cancer and so forth of people eating the right amount. But you get to be 65, you actually need more protein. So I'm struggling. I'm doing my 25 pull-ups, and I can't break 25. I'm just stuck. And I'm reading, oh, if you're over, see, if you're 65, you need more protein. Oh, okay. I had one tablespoon of blue-green algae, and suddenly I'm up to, I actually got up to 100 pull-ups. Very practical. One tablespoon. That's all the difference it took. That's the point I'm making. So if you don't know that we're not a bunch of cows and we only eat grass, right? There's going to be a higher percentage of failure than if you organize your diet to fit your constitution. I think that answers your question.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because anybody that really tries to put into practice what you're saying is going to need to get into some details.
And you have to test against yourself. I mean, I'm stuck at 25, and literally 2 weeks later, I'm doing 50. How did that happen? Well, because I got the right mix.
Wow.
I added one more tablespoon of protein.
And I suspect the overall quantity of food you're eating is not huge either.
No. I just have one meal at lunch, and I have, in the morning, I have goji berries and ginger. Just, I don't really eat, but I have a drink, I guess.
So you're doing one main meal a day.
I don't eat dinner.
You don't eat, sorry.
I don't eat dinner.
Okay.
I just eat usually around 2 o'clock.
And this varies with individuals as well, right?
Yes. I'm what's known as a slow oxidizer. I don't need very much protein. I'm the 30% group.
Okay.
Okay. And we vary between, it's a range between 35 grams and 70 grams. Fast oxidizers need 70 grams. Okay. Slow oxidizers like myself, 35, 40 grams. That's it.
Yeah.
And all I did is I was probably getting 8%, and I moved it to about 10%. That's all I needed.
Yeah, you're talking about physical fitness and ability to do pull-ups and things, which most people can't do any of. And the
right, but the point is, that's my way of testing myself. I have energy all day long, okay?
Right.
But my test, because I'm competing against myself, nobody else, is does this work? If it works, I should be stronger. I should have more endurance. If it's not working, then I'm not going to be stronger.
And you can actually test small detail questions during the day by seeing your energy level response and things like
that. Yeah.
You don't have to stop and get a blood test for every question.
That's the point, yeah.
Because you've got billions of people in the world. It's not practical for all of them to start getting blood tested all the time. But right. they can observe correlation between
trial and error.
Energy level, tendency to get sick, all kinds of questions like that. You're your own lab.
Right. So you trial and error, but you have guidelines. You kind of, it's on my website, actually. You can do a test for slow and fast oxidizer, higher protein, lower protein. And it's pretty easy. You know, it's 30 questions. And you get roughly where you need to be, and then you have to do trial and error.
Is this on your website?
Yeah. It's a treeoflife.mn.co.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. And so that's my point, is that you have to kind of decide where you are in the spectrum, and then you have to fine-tune it by trial and error.
Exactly. So this is a whole thing that you change your level of self-observing during the day, every day, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I did this and I felt like that.
Yeah. You have to pay attention.
Yeah, right. Right. I think that's a really big deal.
Because I couldn't agree more. And that's actually what makes this program interesting, because we can go to different places and your question is a perfect question.
Well, you either pay attention to everything you're doing all day, not with tension. In fact, it's interesting, the wordplay, because the prefix ah means not. in etymology, and attention means you're relaxed. So if you're really paying attention to everything you do and the result, and you have to keep in mind there's a time lag, you know, eat junk food and you're going to get a high immediately and feel better for the moment. And then a little bit later, a few minutes to a few hours later, you see how it really affected you. So you start.
Right. And what is it? Slow exposures. I mean, really, I don't eat really breakfast. I have ginger and little goji berries. And then I don't need to eat. And I'm eating, you know, maybe at 7. I don't need to eat till 1 or 2. That's a slow lactase. Now, fast lactase can't do that. They need more protein. They have to eat every few hours if they don't get lots of protein.
But to tell when to eat, you have to tell what hunger is, right? And one of the, that's not such a simple thing, because the movement through your gut of food that it's trying to throw away is often interpreted by your programmed brain as hunger.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, that's a big subject in itself, obviously.
You have to, you're bringing good points. You have to break out of the robot paradigm, and you have to pay attention. Am I really hungry? What is it? You know?
This is a reflection of spiritual work, because the spiritual work is to differentiate yourself from the programs.
It's part of spiritual work. Yeah. Because everybody, you know, again, people talk about nutrition as if you're a cow. There is no one diet to everybody. There really isn't. It's not even close.
A lot of health authors write what everybody's supposed to eat. And in fact, the physical fitness trainers, most of them say they have a number like 0.8. And they say that you multiply your body weight by that, and you get the number of grams of protein you have to eat every day. Otherwise, you can't get stronger and build muscle.
Right. And that's just inaccurate. It says you're just a cow and you eat grass.
Yeah. And this is not to insult cows or anything. They're very nice too. But it's saying that there's one standard for everybody.
Yeah. And we're unique individuals. And worse than that, it varies according to our life cycle. When you're preteen, you need something, you know. When you're a teen, you need another set. And then, you know, in your 45, if you're eating too much protein, it goes against you. And then when you're 65, you need to eat more protein.
And your toxicity level changes it completely too, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems like you need to eat a lot more when your body's really toxic.
It's an interesting statement. I think so, because you're out of balance.
Well, it also covers up the detox symptoms. Yeah. Sorry. Because if your body has to be diverting all its energy to dealing with too much food, it can't really do much detox. And so in a way, you feel a little bit better.
It covers up the detox part. Yeah, that's right. It's a good observation.
So you have to develop, if it's individual, and you can't just ask somebody what everybody should do, there's really no way around learning to communicate with your own body.
Correct. That's why I'm calling it trial and error.
Yeah.
You're researching on yourself. When I do this fast and lactate, I kind of, are you at this end or are you at that end? And then you go from there, what you need. Some people need, for example, if you're a fast exerciser, you're vegan, 2 tablespoons of some kind of protein concentrate per meal. I'm talking about 1 tablespoon per meal for the whole day.
One tablespoon of what? Some kind of natural protein?
Yeah, like pea protein or the mushroom protein or something. Yeah.
Right. Now, how do you fit that, those powders, which people use in a lot of different ways, where do those fit on the spectrum of live food, where you say that the main nutrient in food is life force, which science doesn't even recognize? And so in a powder that's been dead and it can't grow anymore, how does that fit into the live food idea?
So there's a few pieces to that. First, not all the powders are dead. Not all of them are cooked.
So if you looked at them under the microscope, you would see living cells?
Yeah, but I'm going to say it a different way.
Okay.
There's a researcher in Germany who's still alive, Dr. Popp, P-O-P-P.
Okay.
And he was able to measure biophoton energies. So he measured people eating junk food, and they would have 1,000. I mean, that's, they had 1,000.
Yeah.
Cooked vegan, 23,000. Newborn baby, 43. That's the energy they're giving off. A live fooder, 83,000. Person who's doing Chinese herbs or different herbs and live food, 116,000. Biophotons. That's a lot of energy you're giving up.
Right.
Okay. Now that's, but we also did measurement, and this is important to your question here. And that question is, if you cook it, you're losing about at least 50% of the protein gets coagulated. Okay.
When you cook food. Okay. And what does that mean, coagulated? Is it any good or is it junk?
No good. It's no good.
Okay.
It's ruined. It's ruined. Okay. But if you freeze dry it or dehydrate it, it loses about a quarter of its energy. Mm-hmm. If you freeze it, it loses a half of its energy. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, you're saying it's a whole different scale as compared to whether it's biologically alive where you'd see living cells. This is a whole different scale.
It's about the energy that's coming from the food.
Right, right.
Some of these powders are more or less dehydrated.
Okay. Yeah, and some of them without heat.
Correct, that's exactly the point. So there's still life force in them.
Right. So this skill of self-observation to fine-tune what you yourself need, that's a really important skill, right?
It's critical for getting your diet right.
So if somebody wanted to start on that and they're coming from the usual place of having no idea what this even means and no experience, how do you get them, what do you give them to start to learn how to do that?
Well, you know, as a holistic physician, I'm going to be instructing them. I'm going to go through the test, figure out, are you fast, slow? Now let's talk about what your mix should be, and then we'll keep adjusting it.
But that's if you get to see them individually.
Yeah.
What if you have the opportunity to really change the level of awareness of a mass of people in the world?
Yeah.
And you're online to a million of them,
yeah.
What do you say?
Well, I'd be happy to be talking to a million people. It's very good. So,
yeah.
But in my book, Conscious Eating,
okay,
I actually explain how to regulate and judge your diet. And in fact, most of the books, including There Is a Cure for Diabetes, I go over the process. Okay, but it comes down in simple. Once you know, are you fast or slow, then you need to titrate it so your mind is clear all day long, you have energy all day long, okay? You're not losing weight, you're at optimum weight. I mean, you may lose weight down to your optimum weight, but then you're there.
Right. And how do you tell when you're at your optimum weight?
Well,
for you. A given individual.
Yeah. For me, it's the sense of strength and flexibility, that kind of thing. So when I was 20 and I was a football player, you know, I couldn't get close to touching my toes. I couldn't cross my legs. Okay,
and this was partly because you were over your optimum weight.
Well, yeah, your optimum weight. You're going to also have to play your optimum flexibility. You're actually optimum strength. So if you're you know, big, bulky, or like you're overweight in some way, you can't do 1,500 push-ups.
Probably not.
But you get what I'm trying to say. So at optimum weight, we're also talking about optimum physical performance. And there's a range, generally speaking, because people are overweight, the optimum weight is about, depending on the thing, 20 pounds less than what they write, you know, what your weight should be, because the general American population is overweight. So their averages are off. You see what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to drag it away from what you would do in person. I'm just saying there are two paradigms for that, for the treatment issue.
One is to
get to come to you, but I want you to be able to benefit, you know, billions of people at once, and they're probably not all going to be able to come into the office.
Right? I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. So that's why I've written the books. You know, yeah. I've actually laid it out what you have to do.
Right.
And we haven't done the cut. I just moved, but we haven't done we're just in the process of setting up conscious eating. So I have a whole lecture on that topic, because you do need some advice, because most people haven't taken this path. Forget it, most nutritionists haven't taken this path.
No, they've memorized stuff that they tell people.
Yeah, and you know, part of how I got going on it is I kind of knew it was true. But then I read research out of Stanford where they actually checked chromosome 19 and explained the different points on it that explain that some people need more protein than others, and more fat and less carbohydrate, or more carbohydrate, less fat. And so I know that that's true, both by observation, but by the science.
Yeah, the observation is an important confirmation, because in a lot of cases, the science, especially in single variable tests, there are all kinds of things that they misinterpret, and that they're not even aware of what variables are actually having the effect. When you're working in your own life, you're working with infinite variables, most of which are unconscious, and you still have to learn something.
Yes.
So when you're watching yourself, that's why I ask for the criteria like strength, flexibility,
endurance, clarity of mind,
right?
And they all have to be at optimal, okay? And I think that's the important thing, is that they all have to be at optimal performance,
right? And you don't have to vary just one input at a time. You know, if you feel real foggy mind, maybe you're too heavy, so maybe you could try eating a little bit less, but also the better quality food, then you don't need as much of it, and sleeping better, and maybe being outside more, and some grounding, and all these different things.
Well, you got to master each one of those. Take sleep. We know, the research shows that if you miss 2 days of sleep, like you don't get no sleep, your blood sugar starts to rise.
And you wouldn't even intuitively necessarily connect those at all.
Exactly. But since diabetes is one of my kind of things I work on, I'm aware. So it's like, okay, we got to find what's your optimal sleep. Not that hard. Okay, you need 6, 7, 8. The research shows that you can get by 6, but you're not optimal.
Right.
They do subtle tests. Your mind is clear. It may feel clear, but it's not quite there. 7 hours seems to be the minimum magic number.
And if you're working physically really hard, it might be a bit higher, right, to rebuild.
Yeah, but your constitution plays a role in that, you know.
Right, but like some of the Olympic athlete reports are that when they're training really hard prior to a contest, they'll do almost nothing but train, eat, and sleep.
Right.
They're sleeping extra.
Right. So, but the point is, you have to master how much sleep you need. Then you have to master, hey, your sleep's going to vary according to when you go to bed. So optimally, you want to go to bed by 10:30 if you can.
And then you need less sleep that way than if you go to bed at 1.
Well, let's say, I'm going to say it a slightly different way. Your optimum regenerative sleep, which builds the endocrine, it builds the immune, okay? It builds the serotonological system. Okay, that's three major systems. It's optimal that you're getting your, the optimal 4 hours is between 10 and 2. And that's with the biorhythms and everything else.
Right, right.
I stretch it to 10:30 because most people don't go to bed at 10.
To me, it's really practical, a critical subject because, you know, we're using these conscious costumes, they call them physical bodies, you know, and when they're not working well, it affects how you see the world, it affects your energy level, it affects your state of mind, your ability to understand anything, your ability to communicate to other people. I mean, it's really important.
And your ability to make clear decisions.
Yeah, exactly. And even your motives change. I mean, it's like the world is different. So if you're open to it and if people want to, because we're over time, we should wrap it up for today. But we might want to go more into this topic of self-observation and how to respond to it.
I'm happy with it. You know, I think the two biggest things are your whether you're fast, slow, oxidizer. Maybe next time I'll get my sheet and we'll go over the questions for people.
Right.
And yeah. And then sleep is a big thing. Exercise isn't as important as people make it. If you want to lose weight, gain weight, eat more or less food.
Right. But I think you've said also, and as well as Brian Clement and other people like that, that for bone density and muscle development and things like that, it's pretty hard to do without the various critical kinds of exercise.
Oh, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but what we know without getting too much on the topic is you need 16 to 23 minutes. You have to hit that zone of a more intense exercise, 4 days a week.
As a place to start. And then, as with everything else, you can fine tune that to the individual situation, right?
Yeah, and to your time and everything. But what I'm saying is, it's not that much exercise. 16 to 23 minutes is not like it.
Oh, it's easy. I just found that I feel a lot better if I do more. But it doesn't mean you have to.
Well, the research kind of suggests that you've got to do at least that. At least 4 days.
Okay. And then, you know, you get into other details, like if you're sitting for 10 hours in an office chair, the fact that you did 18 minutes or something before doesn't offset it enough. You have to get up once in a while and move and stretch. And
every hour you have to get up.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 minutes every hour, and then you can just keep going.
You know, in the drug industry, they really ridicule self-diagnosis and self-medication. But the reality is opposite to that. It's like, don't diagnose yourself for drugs and medicate, but you better self-assess and diagnose and self-medicate for normal life functions and become capable of doing that, right?
Perfect.
I'm glad you're open to it.
I think this is a good place for us to continue more. Next week, I'll go over the 30 questions for people.
Okay, that'll put power in their hands to start feeling better, you know, without waiting. And I think that would be interesting.
Good. And I appreciate your questions. I think we're finding the right balance here.
Yeah, because it's going to lead to everything else. It's just that, you know, you can't really be sharing a high level of spiritual insight and let your physical body just fall apart.
Not for too long yet.
Right. And then we can also get into interesting questions like, why do all the people in known history at a certain point, no matter how healthy their lifestyle, they fall apart? I'm really interested in that. You know, what are the real if you're not doing it with mistakes in lifestyle, what else is going on?
I want to. You're opening a big door. So it's a great question.
It's going to be interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I was talking to somebody, we were doing a meditation group earlier, and this one lady was talking about King Solomon. The wisest man, but he wasn't liberated. He had too many wives and he had too many horses, and he played around with demons, literally demons. He right. thought he could just overcome everything. It's like, that wasn't wise because he overestimated.
Yeah, overestimated his preparation status.
Yes. At the time. So it's tricky. We have to be kind of humble in the process.
Yeah, humble and not scared, you know, and everything's such a delicate balance. And yes. if you try to do it by micromanagement and stress, you just blow it completely. So there are different ways.
Yeah. You have to, you just relax and try and error. You're never going to get there in a year or two. It doesn't matter. Right. There's no hurry here.
And it's okay to let spirit help you too. That might be a good thing.
It's essential.
Yeah.
But relaxing to let the flow go is, it makes it fun. It makes it an adventure.
Exactly.
You don't get stressed.
The real work that's the most valuable has no stress in it.
Yeah.
So what do you want to leave people with for this week since we have to go?
Okay, Richard, great. And Doug, thank you. So we got a good team going. Excellent.
Yeah.
And I want to bless everybody who listens to this, that this touches your heart and your mind, and you're able to have that wisdom of the heart that integrates it all, heavens and earth. Blessings to everyone.
Thank you, Dr. Cousins. That was great. Okay, you guys, so we went a little bit over. Sorry about that. And obviously, these discussions are completely unscripted and unplanned. And well, they're planned, but then we break the plans. But I don't think we totally veered away from purpose, because no matter what you want to accomplish with your life, if you're like most people, you probably need your physical body to do it. And I just wanted to get into... see what Dr. Cousins' wisdom says, because he's got massive experience healing people and through lifestyle upgrades all over the world and countries and continents everywhere. Only on this planet in this lifetime, so far as I know, but a lot of different places. And some of these questions are not necessarily addressed in the books, at least not completely. And I want to dig into what he knows that you can use, you know, maybe... yeah, with his personal patients, blood tests and personal analysis and everything can be part of it. But we're talking to people all over the planet right now. And what I want, the only reason to do this is not to say, oh, that was an interesting show, you know, what's next, and change the channel or whatever. I have to go eat lunch. The thing is, if you're going to take some of your super valuable time and listen to these conversations, I wanted to help you. I can't think of any other, speaking of purpose, I can't think of any other reason. So I want him to really get into, all right, if you want to feel better, which I think the percentage of people who want to feel better is 100, including the bad people and the demonic bad characters and people who want to do a lot of good and everybody in between. As far as I know, I think it's pretty good bet that every single one of those people wants to feel better. Some people are just a little confused and they're doing it by getting into tyranny and trying to control and damage the masses and, you know, inject them with weird stuff and all kinds of things that aren't very good. But they're trying to feel better in their own twisted way. And so for normal people trying to feel better, at least what I've found in my little bit of experience to date, is it's really an essential element of that to get your physical body to feel better too and pay attention to it. So that's why I wanted to dig into this, and then we can go from there into other levels of the emotional state that you're carrying around, the mantras that you're doing, because everybody, in case you didn't know, is 100% devoted to mantras. repeating stuff in the back of your mind that, you know, may be crazy, but you're repeating it over and over and over again. And it gets connected to emotion, and it becomes very powerful. And it affects what looks like is coming from the outside world in circumstances and the behavior of other people. What you're broadcasting, and Dr. Cousins got into the life force coming off different foods, and we're also radiating energy that has a frequency to it that is changeable by your physical condition and by your emotional state. And if you learn to take conscious control over focusing that in the way you want it to be, it changes the behavior of everybody else in your life and circumstances. And you find out eventually nothing is happening by chance. It's all meticulously orchestrated and tied together. So we got some interesting stuff to get into, but the bottom line is we want it to be practical. You know, our time is really valuable. I don't think we fully realize that till our life is over. So why don't we make believe we have that insight now? You know, you're in the last day of your life and you're thinking, wow, that time that I had way back in 2022 was so valuable, I had no idea. Make believe you have that insight now, and you're asking to go back and do it over and do it better. And your request is granted, and now you're back here. What are you going to do? So we got some interesting things to talk about. Have a good week. Remember, we have shows on Saturday and Sunday. And Planetary Healing Club is going on for people that want to get into this stuff on a deeper level, actual personal application. And if you want to stay in touch with where our shows are broadcast, go to lostartsradio.com. And if you want to help us stay on the air without commercials, then there's a donate button there and a subscribe star link. For those of you that have the resources to help us with that, that would be really nice of you. Otherwise, just share the links. Help us get past censorship and shadow banning and various things like that. And that would be deeply appreciated. Mainly take care of yourself. Take this stuff that Dr. Cousins is sharing and use it. Put it to use. See where you can. And you're the only one who knows where to use it in your individual life and how. Within individual freedom, you're the one who knows what's best for your own life. But take this wisdom that he's sharing from experience and help yourself with it. That's the most generous thing you can do for the world, because the better shape you get in, the more useful you are to everybody else. And you're an example and an inspiration to them. And you find out, wow, you can have this massive impact on improving the future of everybody. So take care of yourself. Have a good week. And we'll see you here next time. Have a good night.